T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
9:35, 25 till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute, as we continue our conversation about education savings accounts. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning. Good to be with you.
Were you listening or not to our conversation with Stephen?
Unfortunately, I couldn't. I wish I would have.
Well, you missed a lot, Daniel. God knows it was just, no, seriously, I think you
no
know
doubt.
Where. Brilliant, yeah. Would be a good word, actually. I'm glad you used it. Public Affairs Research Council, you know where they stand on the education savings accounts. Give me the Pelican Institute's thought overview on education savings accounts, if you can, because I think I got most of the nuts and bolts from him, but I just want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, you know, starting from a just principles perspective, you know, the Pelican Institute's mission is that every person in Louisiana should have the opportunity to flourish. And education is a critical component of flourishing. And we believe that every child in Louisiana should have access to a school that fits him or her best. And education savings accounts are a way to ensure that our state dollars are following the child to the school or educational opportunity. That could be a mix of things that provide them the best educational outcomes. And frankly, we believe parents know best, and we should empower them to make those decisions.
So how do you, I guess what I'm thinking is, we always talk about parents knowing best, and I've had numerous conversations with teachers and education officials who say part of the problem is that they turn it over to the teachers and the parents aren't even involved in the education. So I guess one thing that comes, a red flag that comes up to me is that, well, maybe is turning it over to the parents, everything over to the parents, the best thing to begin with when we have a problem with parents being involved in a child's education, doing homework, et cetera, and would that not tend to tilt more toward parents who are involved with the kids' education, leaving the kids whose parents are not as involved even further behind? Thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we hear this a lot, and a couple of data points that we're beginning to see from other states who have enacted these policies. It actually is a mechanism to get more parents involved. It puts a choice in front of them, and we see, at least anecdotally, and we're waiting on some more data to come back, that parents get more involved. Now, does this solve that for every family? Of course not. There are parents who certainly, you know, are just never going to be involved in those decisions. But that's the status quo now. And what we have seen, particularly in Florida, where they have the longest data set, we can draw some better conclusions. Not only do families who opt to take a different choice to use those dollars somewhere else, not only do they have better educational outcomes, which we might expect, but the kids who either stay by choice or indifference in the traditional public schools also consistently have better educational outcomes under a program like this.
So let's talk about, you know, and I made the example before with Stephen Procopio at the Public Affairs Research Council about, well, let me take a step back. I know you have watched him from watching you on Twitter. I know that you have a disagreement with how much this is ultimately going to cost. They said it was an estimate of $520 million if it's fully funded. You disagree with that, Daniel, or the Pelican Institute does?
Yeah, I think that there are two components of this that we struggle with. And let me say, and I said it on Twitter, I said it to Stephen directly, I have enormous respect for Parr and Stephen, and we work together on a lot of things.
You did say that on Twitter, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, so I just, you know, I think the world of them. On this, we happen to have a disagreement. And the disagreement is twofold on this. The first is, We have not put out a number, in part because we're still trying to figure out projections. This is not a straightforward thing to project. We don't know. We have to make some guesses about what choices families make and how those dollars all come together. So it's complex. So our concern was to put that number out without backup documentation saying how they got there. It's a shock number. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to see more, and Stephen and I have agreed to discuss that. The second thing, though, is this only costs what the legislature appropriates. So, you know, we can project all sorts of numbers, but at the end of the day, the bill is subject to what the legislature appropriates. So if they say we're only going to spend X, we can't spend more than X. So the legislature is in complete control of how much this program will cost at the end of the day.
So the state has to have a balanced budget as it stands now, and it gets even a little bit, the waters get a little bit more muddied because we could, looking like we have a constitutional convention. At that point, Daniel, I guess funds that are dedicated, how likely is that to change? And to take a sidestep here about a constitutional convention, about addressing what funds are dedicated and what funds are not.
Well, I do think that's going to be, you know, the constitutionally dedicated funds are going to be a major focus of the convention. But as we have recommended, and I participate in some of these discussions, the exercise in the Constitutional Convention is not about making policy change. It's about moving the appropriate things to statute and keeping the appropriate things in the Constitution that do what a Constitution's supposed to do. And that means we can let legislators have more flexibility to represent the will of the people rather than the Constitution doing things it shouldn't do. So even if some things move out of the Constitution into statute, that will not reflect a policy change, at least not right away. It just potentially opens the door for debate down the road. Something like school funding, if it requires a two-thirds vote to change it, I don't think you're going to see any situation in which there's a major change to our school funding formula.
And the only reason I ask that is because, you know, I made the analogy with Stephen earlier that it wasn't really a river of money. It's more of a pond or a lake of money from which you dip different buckets to fund different things, right? To pour into different devices, whatever you would keep the analogy going however you like.
Yeah.
But when it comes to education savings accounts, the money is limited. The state has to have a balanced budget. I don't think that's going to change in the Constitutional Convention. So where's the money going to come from for the education savings accounts at the expense of what, since there is not an unlimited supply of money?
That's right. Well, a few thoughts to that. The first thing to remember is let's take our traditional public schools or our public charter schools or any of our public funding right now. If a student shows up either from a private school or from out of state or wherever, shows up to kindergarten, the state will fund that student. So that is not subject to any sort of limitation.
Let me call a timeout, Daniel. Let me call a timeout if I can. I want to go step back even further for people that don't understand. When it comes to deciding how schools get funded in Louisiana, what is the formula for that?
So it is something called the Minimum Foundation Program, and I suspect there are maybe a half a dozen people in the state who really understand all of the intricacies
of it. And that's why I'm asking you, because that's – go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. So, but the fundamental is based on a series of weights based on the population and wealth and tax collections of the local government. Basically, you know, the average student in Louisiana is getting funded a third or so, roughly, and again, it depends on the parish, but a third or so from the state, a third or so from the federal government, and a third or so from local taxpayers. The education savings account model we're talking about would only affect those state dollars. The local dollars, the federal dollars, they don't change other than the typical flow of money. And if a student moves from one public school to another public school, their state dollars already follow him or her to that. We're just asking for that option to be open to all educational opportunities in the state that are approved by the State Department.
Has the federal government made any comment on ESAs, education savings accounts, that have been set up in other states in terms of, well, if you're going to take funding away from here, we're not going to do that, or tying the money that they give to states to policy as it relates to ESAs?
No, we have not seen any of that. And in fact, the Supreme Court, the federal courts have upheld regularly these kinds of programs as absolutely constitutional and in line with good policy.
So it would take away money, or would it necessarily take away money from that third per student that's going to the state? Because you would then have, I guess at the beginning of the year, you budget how many students you anticipate. That's how this works with the minimum.
So it actually is based on actual enrollments twice a year. So the school submits what, or the district submits what their actual enrollment is. They do it at the beginning, or roughly at the beginning of the spring semester, and then again at the winter semester. So dollars are allocated based on actual headcount, not a projection. So this doesn't change that at all.
Okay.
The state is still funding every child that's in that building.
So the public school would still... They would lose, let me take this slow now. The public school would lose the third, the funding from the federal government and local government for that student, because that student would no longer be enrolled there, right? And accurate?
Just the state dollars, that's right. So they keep all of the other dollars that aren't tied to the student.
So the federal and local dollars, how do they determine how does the federal government determine how many dollars are given, or the local governments, or is that not per student?
Most of them are not. Some of them are. There's lots of federal funding streams. For the most part, those are going to stay in place. There are some that move around a little bit, but that happens today, whether that student is enrolled in that school or not. And the local dollars, those are collected as a millage and in property tax or as part of the sales tax base. So those are not dollars that are calculated per student. Those are local taxpayer dollars that are dedicated to schools that voters have approved over the years.
So for people that are texting and saying, wait a minute, if a parent takes an ESA and takes that third of the funding from the state that would go to the public school and uses it instead in their education savings account, well, then, because the school has less students, they're also going to lose the state money, the federal money, and the local money. You would say that's not true?
That is correct. That is not true. So actually, at the end of the day, to the extent a parent takes advantage of an ESA, the local school district is going to end up with more dollars per pupil because those other things remain constant.
So,
it's complicated. I know
it does, but it just sounds, I hate to say, too good to be true, but it seems like win-win rarely happens, and that's what you're saying here.
Well, absolutely, and look, I talk to superintendents all over, some of whom, as you can imagine, are skeptical of this, and we do sit down and do the math with them. And so, again, if a student moves from one public school to another right now, or by the way, if they leave to go to a private school, that the school number one that they started from no longer gets that state contribution. That's law today.
Say that part again.
So that is the law today. If the student moves from a public school to another school, whatever it is, that original public school does no longer gets the funding for that kid.
State money.
So
anyway.
That's right. Our state dollars are following the child regardless. The question is, can they follow them to opportunities that are outside of traditional public schools? That's what the debate is today.
Somebody else has a question about in other schools, in other states rather, like, for example, take a Florida or a Texas. They are not as dependent on private schools as we are in Louisiana to offset the poor public schools. And that's no disrespect to anybody. It's just the way it is. Does that factor into this at all? Can you compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges as it relates to saying this happened in Texas or Florida, wherever the ESAs have happened? And do you have to factor in the poor quality of the public schools and the dependence on private schools we have here in Louisiana now?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, you know, if you look at the rankings, so let's take Florida, for example. When they began their choice programs 20 years ago, now they've gone through several iterations of what those look like and now have expanded it in a way that we're talking about here. But they moved on the rankings from in the 40s to now in the top 10. So, I think what we know is that these programs provide better educational outcomes for every kid. That's what we want to accomplish at the end of the day. So I understand the fiscal arguments, and again, those are going to be decided by the legislature. And remember, it's offset by a lot of different factors. So sometimes when people just calculate, it's going to cost $5,000 or $7,500, you know, whatever the ESA amount for the kid is, they multiply that by the number of children. But that doesn't often take into account the offsets from the MFP and the offsets from the existing scholarship program that's being folded into this, which is about $90 million this year.
Okay, so when it comes to the disagreement with Stephen Procopio and the president of the Public Affairs Research Council, of whom you think the world, we've already established that. And that's, I think, a lot of people do, and I admire the work everybody does. But when it comes to determining an amount, How do you know how much to allocate per student? How would you arrive at that figure?
So what the legislature will do is then their fiscal office is working on this as well. There will be a fiscal note attached to this. We'll hear that in the Finance and Appropriations Committees here in the coming weeks in the legislative process. But the legislature will pick an amount to appropriate, and they'll say that's what we're willing to put to this. The calculation will make some assumptions based on offsets from those other pools. And when the money runs out, the money runs out. And frankly, that'd be a great problem to have in the sense of empowering parents to make those choices. And then we get together and figure it out. Again, I would remind folks, though, if there was a mass movement into the traditional public schools for whatever reason, an influx of population, a change in parental decisions to move, we would fund those kids in the public school without any question, without any cap on appropriation. That could go as high as it could go.
So I'm thinking here, if I'm in charge of this, and it's like, all right, Tommy, now you got to figure out how much we're going to allow in these education savings accounts, how much are we going to give parents or reimburse them, however you want to phrase it, mm-hmm. I guess I would have to look at the cost of private tuition, or how would you even begin to determine an amount, an average or something per area? Would it be different per area?
So the bill as it's written now allows three tiers. So one tier is for families who are 250% of the poverty level or lower.
Right.
So these are low-income families. Those families will get an amount that's about $7,500, and that's a percentage of the statewide average. It's about 60% of the total, if you take all those funding sources together, cost of educating a child in Louisiana public schools.
Okay.
For families who are above that line, they would receive an ESA of about $5,100. That represents about 40% of the total. If you're a child with exceptionalities, a special needs child, that amount would be $15,000, with the recognition that those services are significantly more expensive and challenging for families to meet.
So after year three, when everybody would then become eligible for this, regardless of means, that's what we're dickering over, how much the difference with you and the Public Affairs Research Council, how much it would be?
What the total price tag would be allocated. That's right.
So I guess I'm wondering, what would the award be for after year three, when there's no means testing, for somebody that would not qualify for an additional amount? Do you know what that number is?
So those numbers, again, unless the bill changes, those numbers are set. It's a percentage of the total average that are set in the bill. So that's how much those awards will be. The question is, how much money is the net cost if you wanted to allow everyone who makes that choice? And that's the number that Stephen and his team have put out, is this is how much it could cost. And again, we're just not at a point to have confidence about what that number is. We're working toward that as well. I think that the challenge we have is a lot of opponents have used cost as a way to try to block progress. And the fact of the matter is, it will only cost what the legislature allows it to cost. So they will, at some point, make a decision about an appropriation amount, and beyond that amount of money, other kids get left out. And that'll have to be a decision each year that the legislature will make.
I guess what I'm wondering, Daniel, is how do you decide mm-hmm. how much each parent gets that is not eligible for an additional amount because of income? Because at some point it becomes open to everybody that's attending any school, right?
Right. So anybody above 250% of poverty, that amount is $5,100 in current dollars. So the tiers are $5,100, $7,500, and then $15,000 for kids with special needs.
But I thought Stephen said
$5,200. It may be. It's a percentage of the total, so it's $5,100 or $5,200.
So where's the disagreement between you and Stephen?
Just on that total amount. You know, the headline in The Advocate was, this is going to cost $500 million.
So it would be about the number of students to which it would apply, because you're saying the cost per student is about the same, 51, 52.
Correct. The cost per student is not changing. The question is, what's the price tag for the overall program to the state?
And that's based on how many parents would opt in, right?
That's right. And how much money the legislature decides to appropriate.
So if the legislature doesn't fully appropriate money for the parents that want to opt in, you're back to a lottery system as you are now with the vouchers?
As it's written now, it's first come, first serve.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Daniel?
There's a lot of details, and I think it's good for people to be engaged. It's complicated. I think the debate over this is good. This is how we get to good policy that people understand, but this is a really important component to the transformation that I think we and a lot of folks hope to see here in Louisiana. So
yeah, and
it'll be
want
a good
you,
debate moving forward.
I want you to come back on, because it is just everything. It's just education of the kids. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break, find out what Noel's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.